This episode is brought to you by Wisetail. Ever wonder how winning brands like Shake Shack, Chopped, and Torchy's Tacos scale their business and train employees, all while delivering an exceptional customer experience? They do it with Wisetail. Learn more at wisetail.com.
Welcome to Jupiter's Almanac. I'm Matthew Rayford, the great-great-great-grandson of Jupiter Gilliard, a former slave who bought the land I now farm in Georgia nearly 150 years ago. Through the years, my ancestors have passed on some essential and hard-earned wisdom about growing and producing the food we eat. It's my great honor to share that inheritance and to invite other farmers from Georgia and around the country to share their tips with you.
It's an opportunity for us to slow down and to connect and to plug in. And the farm does that in a way that lets you connect and appreciate the life that exists and nurture and cultivate that, and then extend that to the relationships to the people who are in that house with you and your community.
So if you are just starting out, reconnecting with the land, or a seasoned farmer, join the conversation.
And to be honest with you, it was like, would Warren come out and say, hey, I want to be a farmer? Probably not. I consider myself a city kid. You know, when we initially got a horse, you know, I have that New York City mindset. A horse, I'm thinking thoroughbred horse, aqueduct racetrack, Belmont racetrack, those type of things, you know, and slowly but surely, I'm starting to understand a lot more.
I do remember early on, like, you know, the first month or two of dating, how we would daydream about starting a farm together. And it's kind of like, hold on, let's like pump the brakes and get to know each other first and then talk about that, you know?
So what got me into chickens? I always joke and say that a chicken saved my life, and it very much so did.
I'm interested in Black liberation that's ecological and that's not contingent upon these systems giving us anything. There's also something that's beyond this that I want and that I seek for our people, and that's intimacy with the land, and that's reliability.
And so for us, it's also this idea of connecting people back to the land and connecting our folks back to their ancestry. So what does it mean to organically, sustainably farm in our current economy and time?
Please subscribe to Jupiter's Almanac wherever you get your podcasts.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues that Sam is gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Pretty good. Pretty good for a 400th episode of this show, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, auspicious day, right?
Yeah. It's wild.
I mean, it is wild. Damon, of course, has been part of the show since the very beginning. I came in about 3 and change years ago. And Greg, I guess, are you approaching a year at this point?
It's been, I came in March of 2019, I think, because the first show we ever did was our friend Jess from down in Texas. So that was the first show that I ever did with you all was that. And I think that was March of 2019.
So over a year. Amazing.
Yeah.
And the show keeps marching on and getting better and better, I think, every year.
I agree.
Yeah. Definitely.
Especially since March of 2019.
I mean, noted, now the two baritones in the room. Yeah, and you know we're getting I think the recognition that we're getting is growing, right? It's the third year in a row nominated for Tales of the Cocktail Spirited Award for Best Podcast Broadcast or Video Series. Still didn't win, but you know what? I don't care if we win. I think being in on the list year after year shows like we have sustainability, you know.
I agree.
And also, you and I, the three of us, you know, we remember who won 3 years ago and 2 years ago and this year, but you know, I think most people don't even remember. So being on the list every year just keeps our name in the light, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said a couple weeks ago, we're like the Leo DiCaprio of the Spirited Awards. Eventually, we just got to eat that bison liver and then we'll get it.
Revenant.
Well, Damon, I kind of want to know, like, did you, when you started this show way, way back at, like, you know, almost a decade ago, like, what, if, I'm fascinated by these things about, like, just these little questions of, like, if you could go back in time and say to yourself from that moment, like, hey, this is what the show is going to look like, and it's still going to be on in 9 years, it's going to have this following, it's going to be big, like, what do you think Damon on show number one would say about that?
Well, I can tell you that, if you want to check out, anyone listening wants to check out the show, don't go all the way back to the very beginning. it's just really bad. I had some of the best guests on the very first shows. I had Tiki Adam Colasar, had Brad Miller, had Thomas Waugh, like these really great figures in the bar community. And, you know, I don't know if you ever watched the movie Private Parts, the one about Howard Stern. When he starts doing his, when he starts becoming a radio host, he has this like froggy thing going on in his voice and he can't shake it. I think there's a lot of that going on for me. Just like weird, like just, you know, just trying to figure it out like as I went along. But yeah, in 2 months, it'll be 10 years that the Speakeasy's been on Heritage Radio Network.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy. I was a guest on the main show called The Main Course on December 5th, Repeal Day. And that would have been, you know, 10 years ago next month.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy to think. I don't think I've done anything for 10 years. especially not anything that I don't get paid for, you know?
Yeah. Amazing.
So yeah, it's been great. But you know, to me it always gets better, and you know, there's just always more to talk about. That's what I love about the spirits industry and bartending. There's always more to learn. You can never know it all. And there's never a dull moment, and there's always someone to talk to. And, you know, especially lately, we've been really, I feel like we've been, you know, we've more or less become like news reporters with what's going on in the world and the industry. And that's been really great. But today we're going to take a break from that side of it and just have a fun, relaxing time.
Yeah. A little bit more lighthearted today. Not so, you know, pandemic or civil unrest related today. So, but I want to still dig a little deeper. You were on the main show, which was called The Main Course with Patrick, right? That was that long ago. That was on December 5th. That'll be 10 years ago. And Heritage Radio Network just turned 10 years old last year. So, you know, Speakeasy's been on the network nearly as long as the network has existed.
That's true. Yeah, exactly. There was Beer Sessions with Jimmy Carbone.
Yep.
And then there was a wine show that was kind of more of a series situation, and I was on The Main Course with Patrick and Katie, and they, you know, after we closed the show, I got an email, and they said, that was really great. What do you think about having your own show about bartending and bar culture and history? And, you know, I asked, you know, just one important question, how much does it pay?
Yes.
They said nothing, and I said, perfect, I'll do it. You know, this isn't about
you're a hard negotiator, Mr. Bolte. Everyone knows that about you.
that's hospitality, man. You know, this, I don't do this for me. I do this, you know, it needed to happen, and I'm glad that it's been around. I'm glad that we have so many listeners in I think over 65 countries to date. It's been really great. You know, we've had a lot of great times with it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. So thanks to everyone for listening for the last almost 10 years and 400 episodes.
Yeah, we kind of raced up to 400 with the pandemic being on. We were there for a while. There, we're cranking out three episodes a week, but definitely two episodes a week for a straight run. We kind of raced up on us, and we're still, of course, amid the pandemic. But we're gonna kind of lighten the load and talk to some people about a little bit more sort of, I don't know, the lighter side of the, you know, nerdy ass mixology world. Greg, why don't you please introduce our esteemed guests for the day?
Absolutely. So joining us today, we have Aaron Goldfarb. He's a great writer. He just won at Tales of the Cocktail for a piece that he published last year. And we also have joining us, formerly of Mahalo.com, but currently of the California school system, please welcome Janae Nyberg.
Yeah.
Welcome, guys. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. So I think that it's pretty likely that if you're a listener to this show, you have encountered Janae before in some capacity. She is the star of a video that came out in 2010 about how to make an old fashioned that's been making the rounds on the internet for sure. But last year, Aaron, you were, you know, did what I think was a pretty excellent Where Is She Now piece, and you actually sort of got some of the backstory behind that video that obviously everyone that's just been watching it and sharing it and, you know, linking it hadn't seen before. And it really, I mean, it was, I loved it, and I think it was one of the most shared pieces of drinks and beverage and just general food writing that I saw in all of 2019. And it obviously really struck a chord with a lot of people, the folks that are on this show right now, very much included. What do the both of you make of that? Why do you think it hit such a specific nerve with people and really resonated now of all times?
Well, people love Janae. They really do. And there's, you know, if I told people I'm on a podcast with her right now, they'd lose their mind. And when I interviewed her before I even wrote the article, the people in the punch offices, all of whom are women, they were giddy. It was like I was talking to the biggest celebrity in the world, which Janae might be. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
Well, the biggest, maybe one of the biggest celebrities in our world for sure.
Well, you know, in the article, I call her the most viral bartender of all time over, you know, Professor Jerry Thomas and, you know, Tom Cruise from Cocktail and even you guys. So, I think she might very well be. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people have seen and shared those videos, and I'm not sure I've ever met anyone who hasn't seen them before. So, you know, people were very excited to get the backstory. And I think Janae told me I was the first journalist ever to reach out to her in a whole decade, which is crazy.
Wow. And that's incredible. I mean, that's like shocking to me. Just for the sake of our listeners, Aaron, can you kind of like outline that original video and what it is that made it so popular in our bubble? You know, I know we're in a bubble, right? We're the mixology bubble. We're the nerds who geek out on everything. But these videos weren't necessarily targeted for us, but they became wildly visible in our crew. And I'm guilty. I, at least annually, if not sometimes twice a year, I posted this video and cheekily would say to my listeners and my audience, you know, hey, this is how it's done, by the way. Don't forget. Because I like to poke fun at myself and poke fun at our business. And these videos were a great tool for doing that. So can you just kind of outline what those videos are about, or this, at least this specific one?
That, yeah.
There were dozens, well, I mean, as far as I can tell.
There's, well, I was blown away. And one of the things that most people who read the story were kind of latched onto was that she did 100 videos in 2 days, like 100 100 cocktails.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are real pros, but think about doing 100 different cocktails on air.
No way.
And they, I let her tell, they didn't even give her any instructions. It was just a laundry list. Here are the 100 to do, knock yourself out. And, you know, for whatever reason, the old fashioned's the one that went the most viral. I guess it is the most famous cocktail. And what I remind people of in the story is, you know, your mom knows how to make an old fashioned now, but back in 2010, you know, we were still 4 years away from Robert Simonson's kind of iconic book on the old fashioned.
Yep.
You know, this was still a time where most bars, especially most bars not located in Brooklyn, New York or San Francisco, were muddling, were adding, you know, soda water from the gun. So for people to watch this and snark on it like, you know, oh, I can make a better old fashioned than that. Well, in 2010, you probably weren't. But, you know, it's not like Janae is necessarily messing up. It's just everything's going wrong. There's no, as far as I can tell, bitters actually in the bitters bottle. She, you know, they don't give her any sort of tools. So she's using like a wooden spoon to stir. She was given a bucket of ice at the start of the day and had to just keep kind of filtering
straining
out the melting
ice.
Water. Yeah, straining ice.
We've all been there, actually. That happens at every event we work.
Every HRN fundraising event.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I think it's actually an example of someone really keeping their cool and performing under pressure because nothing's going right and she told me that she didn't even get to do second takes. So, you know, if she sloshed ice on the table, well, that's staying in, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, a testament to sort of perseverance to the bit, you know. And then, of course, we, as the internet is wont to do, we just picked this thing apart, right?
Yeah.
To be fair, you know, they were pretty hilarious. It's like, I remember watching them when they first came out, and I was like, did I say that? I was like, geez. You know, nothing was scripted. It was just off the top of my head. I had worked the night before. I was, you know, not going to lie, a little hungover. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning, Santa Monica, and I'm just like, whatever. I get there, there's nothing. You know, there's no pour spouts, no jiggers, no nothing. And so same thing when they're like, I was like, you guys don't even have a muddler? I was like, well, let's go see what you guys have in your office kitchen. And I was like, well, I guess we're going to use a wooden spoon. It was just kind of... We were rolling with it, and it's funny because they really, they're not informational or instructional at all, but I do find them to be humorous, and I think, you know, that may be why they gathered so much steam. But like you guys said, I had kind of worked as a bartender in corporate bartending at first, which is not the same. It's like when you're working at an Outback Steakhouse and they're giving you specific recipes and you're using jiggers. I mean, that's not really the craft, you know, the skill that many of you guys have. But I still remember when I finally started bartending in West Hollywood, and my bar manager, Levi Lupercio, was one of those that was very kind of snooty and was like, oh, you don't know anything. And he did educate me. And so it's like, for me, he, I can say, was who was responsible for me actually knowing the difference between my single malts versus my blended and, you know, pretty much all of that just information that you have to know. I didn't know a lot of that until I was working in West Hollywood. When I did shoot these particular videos, you know, I was already working at Katana. So it's just, I kind of was just... Well, I guess, I mean, none of the recipes had I even heard of half of them.
Right. Yeah. There's some great ones in that catalog. But I do find it fascinating, again, that I didn't realize there were 100. I knew that there were dozens, that the old fashioned is the one that it keeps coming back to. And, you know, I really applaud you, honestly, for marching through. I can't even imagine doing 100 in 2 days.
Seriously.
I do shoots, and it's like, man, if we get 20 done in a day, that's amazing. That's just incredible. But you kind of, your upbringing, you were always looking to be in front of a camera, right?
Yes.
So this was an opportunity, and you took it.
Correct. That was exactly it. It was, I'm like, well, maybe this will be good for hosting, you know, a hosting reel or something, you know, always looking for something. And yeah, I had started doing theater when I was just a little girl in church. And then when I was 8, I joined like a little community theater company. And, you know, I loved acting. I loved being on stage. And when I finally did a few little things, like some guest star work on soap operas in LA and whatnot, I really did love being on camera. And so this was just, it was something I auditioned for, and I made a skinny margarita for the audition, and then they had me come back and they hired me. And so to me, it really was like a kind of an acting gig more than a bartending gig. And so that's kind of how I viewed it, was more hosting. They actually had brought me back to host for, I interviewed a sommelier, and we were talking about pairing wine with food. And so, you know, I viewed it just as a company that was kind of putting content out there. And it was a possible way for me to get, you know, some kind of recognition. Not, apparently I got a different kind of recognition than I was thinking, but, you know.
Listen, foot in the door, 2010, like, how do you say no to that opportunity, right?
Exactly.
So this seems like a good spot to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors here at Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back, and we're going to keep talking with Janae Nyberg and Aaron Goldfarb about redemption. We're going to talk about redemption next, so stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Wisetail. Ever wonder how winning brands like Shake Shack, Chopped, and Torchy's Tacos scale their business and train employees, all while delivering an exceptional customer experience? They do it with Wisetail. Wisetail is a state-of-the-art learning management system built to engage and empower your workforce. With a modern user interface and intuitive course authoring capabilities, Wisetail has helped hundreds of businesses achieve their growth goals. Plus, Wisetail has experts on call to help you bring your vision to life with their world-class client success team. Come see how Wisetail's award-winning training platform can go to work for you. As a special offer, HRN listeners are eligible for their first month free. Learn more at wisetail.com/HRN. That's wisetail.com/HRN. wisetail.com/HRN. Terms and conditions apply. Visit their website for more details.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network, episode 400.
400, baby.
Yeah. Have a good time here. Talking with Janae Nyberg about the old-fashioned video amongst 99 more videos that she shot in a very short period of time. And, you know, the thing is, so not a lot of people know this, but I actually had a quick stint in acting. And to me, these videos are more about, they're a little bit more theater than an actual like video production, right? You kind of have your one take to get it right. You're on stage. If that, like Aaron said, if you slosh some ice up onto the bar, you know, that's got to stay in. I remember whenever I was acting, I'm also a musician. So there'd be times where I would be playing a song on stage and playing guitar and maybe a song that I wasn't very familiar with. These physical acts that go along with that, you know, it's not easy to simply remember lines and movement and your marks on stage, but then you're acting with this on top of that with a physical activity that is, to be honest, pretty awkward, right? You're making a cocktail in a set that's like uncomfortable, right? You're
almost sort of Ginger Rogers like too. You were on the backside of the bar making drinks to face out, and the bar was low. It was a table. It looked like a table with a black tablecloth on it.
It was a table,
right? So you're kind of like dancing backwards, you know.
Yeah, it was a very odd setup. And then all the bar, you know, the bottles, they had them all stacked in front of me. And normally, you know, obviously I have my well set up how I want my well set up and everything.
Right.
So it was definitely an awkward setup for sure.
Well, I applaud you for getting through that. It's amazing. I mean, like just to get out there and do it alone. A lot of people are like kind of, you know, they get stage fright or the camera shy, and like to add in these like physical activities that you've got to like put in there. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on. A lot.
Thank you.
So good for you. I think we were going to maybe start talking about the, I think Souther, you had a point you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. It's shocking to me, Aaron, that, you know, and Janae, that Aaron's the first person to reach out to you, is what Aaron said. But off the air, you mentioned he wasn't the first person to reach out to you. He was the first person to reach out to you with a pitch that was enticing to you. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
That is completely accurate. I had so many messages that some were just downright mean, some were just trying to poke fun, or they're, you know, and they kind of were acting like they did want to talk to me about it and maybe, you know, do some type of story, but it was always in a very negative light. And Aaron was the first person that actually reached out to me and was seeking truth, was like, hey, you know, I get that probably a lot of people have said some not nice things, but I just kind of want to know the truth, the backstory. And I mean, that's what a good journalist does, right? If you're actually investigating the story, you don't just come with the assumption that you know. And when he called me, he was very kind and actually was asking me questions versus what I had experienced before. And so on that note, I was like, okay, I do want to do this. I would like to get the actual story out there. And I really appreciate Aaron for doing that for me.
Too much cocktail shaming, you know. Over the past decade, there's been so much cocktail shaming and cocktail nerdery, stump the bartender, all that stuff. And it's just, you know, you're like, as a customer at the bar or someone who's viewing your videos or reading your articles, like, come on. We're out here giving you this experience and some insight into what's going on here. Take it a little easy.
Yeah, so you didn't have to pay for it. Well, you'd have to pay for this. We did it for you. Right? So bring it down a notch. So Aaron, yeah, talk a little bit more about that as a journalist. What piqued your interest in wanting to kind of reach out to Janae and get this story? Because, you know, at first glance, I look at this video, the old one, we'll talk about the new one soon, but I look at the old video and I think to myself, this is laughable, it's funny, it's cheeky, it takes the piss out of a lot of things. But I didn't think not one moment did I think to myself, I would like to know where this woman is now. I would like to know what she's thinking. What made you think those things?
Well, you know, there's always, almost always an interesting story behind something ridiculous. It didn't just become ridiculous. Like, Janae wasn't trying to make a viral video and like screwing up, and neither were, you know. So, you know, it actually, it doesn't even start with me. It starts with my friend, Lizzie Monroe, who's the art director at Punch. And we have a good rapport, and she kind of knows stories I'll do a good job on. So, you know, she said to Chloe Fruchette, who's my editor, have Aaron see what Janae's up to. And the second they told me that, I was like, oh man, if I pull this off, this is going to be a real hit. But it's going to be tough because, you know.
You felt that in your gut from the beginning? You thought this was going to be a hit? I mean, it obviously is.
Yeah, the second Chloe told me that, I was like, yes, if I can pull this off. And I didn't think I would necessarily pull it off, because I said to myself, you know, Janae's been being made fun of on the internet for a decade. Why is she going to talk to another, you know, another white guy? And, you know, I've been writing on the internet for 20 years, and I, you know, the early aughts on the internet, right around and up to 2010, it was a lot of very bro-y, testosterone-driven writing. And I definitely did some of that. And, you know, as I grew older, grew out of it, thankfully. So I could already imagine how poorly she'd been treated since it went viral. So I was kind of nervous about how am I actually going to get her to talk to me. And I almost chickened out and almost asked Chloe to email her, because I thought she might respond to a woman. And I said, you know what, just why don't you just be honest? Just email her, say, you know, I'm sure you have a side of the story that's never been told, and I'd like to hear it. Well, first of all, she was actually pretty hard to track down. She might not be as hard now, because she got married and changed her name and mostly quit acting. So she's kind of been out of the spotlight and doesn't have a massive web presence, or didn't back in October. So I tracked down her email address, and I won't tell you how I did, but I figured out what it was, and I emailed her, and I said that, you know, I'd just love to hear your side of the story, because I'm sure it hasn't been told. And she responded in 20 minutes and said, you know, I have a break in a half hour, call me. And my heart really fluttered. I was like, oh my God. I was, you know, I've interviewed celebrities. I've interviewed Matthew McConaughey. I've interviewed Peyton Manning, but I was like, oh man, I'm going to get to talk to Janae. I was really psyched. And
that's awesome.
she really has like the absolute best attitude, because, you know, I've, you know, lived in a semi-public presence as a writer for a long, long time. And you just get absolutely destroyed on the internet. And I've never been made fun of as much as she probably has. But if I had, I'd probably crawl in a damn hole. So her attitude is just unbelievable. And she was just a delight to talk to. And I guess I was right. It did turn out to be a hit. And I can't believe we're still talking about it, but people can't get enough of it.
Janae, to what do you attribute that sort of like cheery attitude in light of, like, I'm sure, again, how much sort of ridicule you probably took for this?
You know, I guess I've never been one to take myself too seriously. And for me, it's kind of like funny, because I'm like, these people don't know me. I'm like, so they have no idea what they're talking about. And I'm like, if it's giving them that much entertainment and joy, I am glad that they are having that much joy right now, because I'm like, you know, I guess people watch shows, and I'm like, I thought it was very funny myself that they really thought I was bartending. Like that would be what I would do. You know, it's like, I wouldn't actually do that. And you're exactly right. When I even think about being a bartender, which I was, you know, for a long time, that's how I paid for UC Davis. That's how I paid for my master's degree is bartending. But I never felt like it was, I mean, the drink, yes, was important, but a lot of the time, you know, it's that rapport. We're also in the hospitality industry. And I'm like, that was even more important is, yes, I can make a really good drink, but I also make somebody feel welcome. And I had so many customers that would come, you know, and they wanted to have intellectual conversations because I worked at a high-end bar. And so it was just funny to me that people really viewed it as, oh, here's this dumb blonde who, and some, oh, she's wearing a low-cut top or whatever. And it's like all the stuff that they're trying to figure out to dissect. And I'm just like, my goodness, you guys must have too much time on your hands. I don't have that much time. I'm like, geez. But you know, I think that's why. And the fact that I can laugh at it too. I mean, my mom and I watched him and laugh. I showed him to my brother and I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, can you believe that I made a purple pirate? I'm like, who drinks Captain Morgan and like grape juice or whatever it was? And I'm like, did I really end it with yo ho ho, a pirate's life for me? And I'm like, wow, I don't know what I was doing over there. I mean, I was ad-libbing like crazy on these videos. And so, I mean, to me, I got what people were laughing. My husband and I still sometimes will look at them and we'll be, you know, on the floor rolling like, oh my goodness, did you really say that? Yes, you did. And so well,
again, 100 cocktails in 2 days, even if that's 48 hours, that's an hour to set up, complete, you know, create dialogue. Like that's So you're surely just shooting from the hip after number 10.
Oh, we had a spreadsheet. It was on an Excel spreadsheet. It would have the name of the drink and what ingredients they wanted in it. And I was like, okay. And I mean, a lot of them, I'm like, we're either wrong. They wanted me to use Captain Morgan's in a mojito. And I was like, no. We do not use spiced rum in a mojito. But a lot of it, I mean, who uses sugar cubes? They didn't even have simple syrup. They had sugar cubes for me. And I'm like, who? I don't know. I'm like, okay, let's just do this. It's your show, right?
We're just going to do what you were asking me to do, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, it was literally about a minute, minute and a half, and they'd say, okay, go. And I'd say, hi, I'm Janae from Mahalo.com. I'm going to teach you how to make a, and that was just on repeat, you know? And then they'd say, all right, cut, next one. And there was no break in between either. We went from 8 o'clock in the morning till about noon, and then we had lunch, and then we went back and shot till about 3:00. And then I left because I had to go to work. And so I started my shift at 4:00. And then they had me come back the next day at 8:00 again. And I was like, okay, I got to go. I got to be at work. I'm opening the bar at Katana. And so, you know, but yeah, it was kind of crazy. And I mean, it is funny to me that like many people, millions of people took time to write really long reviews on these videos. And I'm like, wow, okay.
At the time that all that kind of began, did you begin to regret it? And then currently today, do you regret it? Or did you ever regret it?
So in the beginning, at first, I kind of did. I was like, a little, you're exactly right. Your feelings do get a little hurt. I'm over it now. But at first, when you read some of the mean stuff, you're like, wow. Like you do, you feel a little kind of stupid. You feel a little ridiculed. And you're like, maybe I shouldn't have made these. But then I kind of got over it. And they never really did give me any kind of like acting leg up, you know? So it was kind of like, all right, it was a paycheck and it was something. But now, you know, that it's brought me to Aaron and he got to write that nice story and I had the opportunity to go to Beam in Chicago and I got to shoot a new video and kind of meet them. And it's actually opened my eyes to learning about the tale of the cocktails and to looking at, you know, wine and spirit writers and so forth, and kind of opened my eyes to a whole nother world that I didn't know about. So I guess it all turned out in a good thing.
It's all about the long game, man. 10 years later, it all paid off.
Yeah.
Can I want to know, like, what was the moment like when you first had that sense of like, oh shit, this is going viral? Like, did someone send it to you and was like, yo, is this you? Or did you kind of like, what was it like when you were just kind of going about your day and then all of a sudden the realization dawned on you? It's like, I think I'm becoming a meme.
Yes. So I actually had some friends that then shared it with me, and then they were sharing it like on my Facebook. And then I had actually students all of a sudden that were seeing it, and then they were defending me. They were like, hey, that's my teacher. She's really smart. Don't say that about her. And it was like crazy because all of a sudden my high school students are telling me about this. And I'm like, what? Who shared this? What is this one? You know, and I didn't even know. But yeah, that was basically how it wasn't like I was Googling myself or looking this up, but then people would see it and they would Facebook me. And some of them were even my high school students at the time. I was teaching AP government at Rio Vista High School at the time. And my students were like, she's actually really smart. She teaches my AP class, you know, or whatever. But yeah, it was a little crazy. I didn't realize how many people had seen them.
I mean, I'm scrolling right now.
I'm just stunned that at the good behavior of your high school students. I don't know that as like a 16-year-old, I would have taken that nearly as in stride as they did.
I'm blessed. My kids have always been really, really good. I have had great relationships with all of my students, and thankfully, I have not had any issues.
Yeah.
Hey, anyone who can make 100 cocktail videos in 2 days and teach kids and have them be really nice and cool and cordial, my kudos to you. You're the coolest person I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Multidisciplinary. Yeah, I'm scrolling through YouTube right now looking at, I didn't realize there were so many. And I don't think I've come across even one that's got less than 100,000 views. And there's one here that's got 4 million views. Like, this is incredible numbers that are out there. So many people have seen these things. And then Aaron, through the work at Punch, decided to kind of redeem it. And then you mentioned just briefly that you got to go to Beam. You got to meet some cool people. You learned about Tales of the Cocktail, which, by the way, I think you'd be a great presenter at next year's awards if we can do it live again. Aaron, talk about the redemption video, the video that was made to kind of like redeem it. Because I love that video just as much as the original one, because you kind of you poke fun at yourself in that one, too.
Well, I'm friendly with Dan Cohn, who's with Beam Suntory, and you know they'll never miss an opportunity to capitalize on some virality. Beam White is what she's pouring in the original video. So Dan asked if I could connect her. And of course, you know, the last decade, despite the millions of views, she's not got a cent of royalties for all of that fame. So I introduced her to Dan, and hopefully she made a nice little payday on there. But I don't even know that side of the story. I guess you flew to Chicago?
I did. I did get to fly to Chicago. So that was very nice. And got there in the evening, and then went there in the morning to Beam and got to hang out with some very cool people, shoot the video. Yes, they did give me some money, so that was good too.
Yeah, Uncle Jim's got some money.
Yes, so it was good. It was a very good experience. I got to meet Amy, and so, you know, yeah, they actually had her there to, you know, make sure that I was actually doing things right this time, which was good. And we didn't do just one take, you know, it was actually like we did a few. And this time I did actually taste my old fashioned, and it was really good. Whereas in the original video, I would not have drank that, much less I don't really drink it at 8 o'clock in the morning anyways. But
yeah, I almost asked about that because you said that the first day, you know, you were kind of hungover going into it. And I was like, man, she made 50 cocktails, especially stuff that had a lot of like just straight up sugar cubes and spiced rums in it. I wonder what the next morning was like to shoot the next 50. But
Yeah, I'm also at least a little bit curious to know, like, do you have any recollection, and maybe you don't after 10 years, but what order of the sequence was the old fashioned? Was that early in the day, late in the day? Like, how many had you canned at that point?
That was much later. We started with weird stuff that I had never even heard of. And then I think it was like an hour in when they wanted me to make the mojito with the Captain Morgans. And I was like, no. And, you know, and then I'm looking at some of these and I was like, okay, nobody orders this. I'm like, I don't even know. Some of them were kind of normal. Like, I think I made a surfer on acid in one of them. And I'm like, okay, college students, when I used to work in this bar in downtown Sac, I'm like, they used to order that as a shooter. I'm like, that's at least something sort of that people order. But yeah, the old fashioned was not in the beginning. That was, I think even if you look, the bottle of bourbon is kind of like not as full because we were using the same bottles for the whole.
Right.
And no bitters either. No bitters,
yeah,
by then.
Yeah. No bitters, yeah. It's just like, well.
So obviously it looks like to me that you had the old video on hand to look at and create a shot list for the new video, because there are definitely parts in there that you hearken back to the old one. And how do you feel about that, like being able to, on video, confirm and redeem yourself about some of the maybe mistakes or whatever went wrong? You know, like you literally have you have tools around you. You have the right, everything looks proper in the new video. But you do, it's been a while since I watched the new video, but you do even talk about some of the prior mistakes in the current one. Is that correct?
Yeah, Dan had told me, he specifically wanted me to do that. He was like, you know, we shot two versions, or one it was just, hi, I'm Janae and I'm back. And the other one was, hi, I'm Janae from Mahalo, because they really did want to draw parallels. And I even get for them, because I did use Jim Beam in the original video. So it's like, all right, I used to use the Jim Beam White. Now we have the better, you know, new and improved Jim Beam Black that we're using. And so they did specifically want me to refer back to that. And I did appreciate that opportunity to kind of be like, I get it. That was crazy and not right. But here's how we do it properly.
I don't know if any of it was crazy, though, Janae. Like, the bottom line is you looked like you're having fun in both videos. And I'm certain that everyone watching the videos has fun, whether or not they take it seriously or take it, you know, as comedy. Like, you know, I've enjoyed those videos over the years. And now, frankly, I'm going to probably spend the rest of my afternoon scrolling through some of the other ones, because I only thought there was like a dozen or so, but there's 100. So I'm going to go look them all up.
There are some there are some absolutely insane ones, Souther. And if you have heard of every cocktail on there, there's like one called the Harrison Ford. There's like, I've not heard of about 20 of these cocktails.
I mean, I see a project coming up. Somebody,
I know, I was going
to
say,
somebody needs to remake all 100.
Yeah. I think you should.
I know somebody who is. It's a small distillery in Australia, because they reached out to me recently, and it's Henry Hammersky, something like that. He has a show, like he has a little podcast. It's like he does a podcast as well. And they actually went through and were remaking every single one of my videos. And I was like, wow. And then they actually tried the drinks. They did them the way that I made them. And I'm like, ew. And that's the reason I even remember the surfer on acid. He goes, we finally got to the surfer on acid, and that one at least tasted good. I'm just like, you guys are crazy. You remade those nasty drinks. I'm like, well, good for you.
That's amazing.
Janae, did you just dump them in a garbage can afterwards? What did you do?
Yes, that's exactly right. They just got dumped. And then we had like a big bucket. And so I just dumped the, I only had the one glass too, and there was no sink. So we would just use the same glass for every single one.
I can't imagine the film crew and all the effort that you go through to make something that you know is going to be permanent. Video and photos are permanent, right? Especially with the internet. It goes up and it never goes away. How on earth did they not have you better prepped? It seems just foolish. Did they not have a technical director there to be like, no, she's going to need a muddler. She's going to need a jigger. She's going to need, you know, like.
I think she said there's two crew members, right? Wasn't there only two crew members? Yeah.
There was two crew guys, and I don't think that they knew exactly even what they were looking for, and they clearly didn't know how to, I mean, for all I'm concerned, they must not drink, because they didn't even know, like, you know, it's like, you wouldn't drink this, really. But yeah, there was two people, a table draped in a tablecloth, a bunch of bottles of stuff, and then they had just bought, like, maraschino cherries, some sugar cubes. There was absolutely nothing there. I mean, they hadn't even told me what they wanted me to wear. They were just like, oh, wear something. And I was like, okay, why? Were the first videos were all black, because let's be real, bartenders typically wear all black, and that's pretty much what I wore to Catan all the time. So I was like, okay. But yeah, there was really no direction, and they had no tools. And I mean, the fact that we didn't even have a sink or anything, you know, it was kind of gross. Everything was sticky by the end of the shoot, and the tablecloth was wet, and you know, it's like, okay, well.
Hey, They got what they needed, I guess, in the end, and so did you. So it's and here we are today. Yeah. Like, it all worked out, apparently.
Yeah.
Did you ever get a sense why a search engine was doing this? Like, what sort of boardroom, like, bro fest led to, like, dude, we should just shoot a bunch of cocktail videos that'll totally drive traffic? Did you ever sort of get a sense of, like, what the thought process was there, or why they even decided to undertake this project in the first place?
I know what they said. I don't know that that's accurate, but they said they were like an educational website and they wanted to like teach people about cocktails. And then they had me do another one. They wanted to teach people how to pair their food with wine. And they were like, we do a lot of things that it's supposed to kind of be like an educational website. So they said, but I'm like, well, then you should at least make sure that you're educating people accurately, I suppose, you know? So I don't know, but I think they're not in business anymore. So clearly they did not meet their goals.
Souther, those unbelievable view numbers aren't even views from the original videos. They're all copies that have been put back on.
No, exactly. That's even what I'm really kind of blown away by, just the sheer number of people who've seen these on the reposts, you know, and the fact that you, you know, as Aaron said, you didn't see a penny of, you know, royalties from any of the videos, from any of the brands that you used, and, you know, different times. But man, it's incredible that you're out there. And again, really, you're so sort of unflappable, it seems. And I'm sure that helps out when you're dealing with a room full of high school kids. But I also feel, we've talked about it many times, Damon and I, on and off air, I feel like, you know, bartending is like wrangling kids in a lot of ways. So, you know,
oh yes,
the skill set translates a little bit. But yeah, you're so charming, and I'm really, I was so happy to see this article come out. I was so happy to see the second video, the redemption. Like, this story has such a great arc, and I'm really, really glad for you, Aaron, for winning the Tales of the Cocktail Award for it. It's incredible.
Thank you so much. I feel silly. I just told Janae's story. It was actually one of the easiest articles I've ever written. I talked to her for a half hour, wrote the story, and the rest is history. So, I'm thankful for her for sharing it. I'm thankful for Lizzie and Chloe for putting the idea in my head. And I'm thankful for everyone for enjoying it. Now everyone seems to be nice to her online, saying, well, you know, I guess that was a long time ago, and I'd probably drink a 12-ounce old fashioned if she gave it to me.
Hey, man. Pandemic times, sign me up. Where do I get one? Yeah, I'll take all the bourbon I can get right now.
Yeah.
Man, so Janae, the quest now, you've left the arena of bartending, you've left the arena of, you know, seeking out being an actor, maybe even a country music star, we talked about that out there, and you're on to teaching. You have any interest in maybe going back if an offer was made?
Yeah, I mean, I can't ever say no to that because it's one of those things that it's always, you know, it's always going to be in the back of my little heart and my mind. I've even said to my husband, because I've been like, well, you know, now that I'm starting to like, yes, thank you guys so much for having me on the show. And it kind of gives you a thought. And I'm like, well, maybe I could do a YouTube channel because I do love to cook and we do host a lot of dinner parties, not so much with this lovely COVID-19, but we used to have people over all the time. And I like to come up with crazy ornate dinners and usually like a themed cocktail or whatever. And I was like, you know, I could make my own channel. And so I start to think of different little things and, you know, I love teaching and I like that too. But if an opportunity presented itself, there's probably a chance that I would take it.
I mean, I'm happy to hear that. I think you should start your own YouTube channel and maybe you should pick each of those videos and post them and then follow that up with a video of you redoing it. That'd be a great platform to just begin on and get some content up for people to see. And I would tune in. So
I would tune in too. Yep.
Definitely.
Oh yeah.
Get brand sponsorship, you know, turn all that stuff, turn that frown upside down.
Yes.
You know, I mean, seriously, you know, I've just forayed into YouTube myself a couple of weeks ago. I launched my own YouTube channel and it's doing pretty well so far. And the whole notion is coming up with what your sort of hook is, what your channel is all about. So I've just been laying down some foundational videos to talk about who I am first, but you've already got that. People already know who you are. I think it'd be pretty easy platform for you to jump on and you know there's 100 pieces of content for you right away and then you could branch off into your, you know, dinner party cocktail theme and be that hostess that you mentioned earlier. Like these are all great ideas, I think.
Well, thank you. And I'm excited for you about your channel as well. That's very cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can check it out. I'm Creative Drunk on everything, including YouTube.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
Yeah. Man, this has been a fascinating conversation. So happy to have you guys on for our 400th. It's a big deal for us to be here. It's a big deal for us to, as Damon said, we don't do this for money. We certainly don't do it for fame. We do it because we enjoy doing it. We get to talk to people who are legends in our field or comrades or just pals. And it brings us a great deal of fulfillment, which Janae mentioned earlier. You know, that's why you end up really doing what you do. You know, you can eschew fame and fortune for fulfillment and live a great life. So man, I'm just maybe rambling a little and getting emotional about the 400th episode, but I'm so happy that you guys were our guests for 400.
Absolutely.
We're honored. I just hope Tails sent you guys two plates and you didn't have to split one.
We didn't get one for the show. We got nominated three times in a row, though. I got one for...
Oh, right. Yeah, you won for Amaro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, one for World's Best Spirit Selection. Nice. Yeah. 240 square foot bar.
Well, congrats to you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, man. And just can still congratulate us on being nominated. We're not too big for our britches to take that.
You know what? I think that with Tails nominations, you know, when you win, you get a plate. But you know, for me being nominated, send me a glass. You know, like send me something I'm gonna use. It's a little bit more on brand for what the content is, you know.
I've never really understood the Tales of the Cocktail Award being a big, giant, flat plate, a charger. Like, what am I supposed to do? I see people trying to drink champagne off of it in the back room when they're doing the awards and stuff like that. It's like nuts. I'm gonna eat the spaghetti alla vodka off of mine when it comes.
The plate feels very fragile, and I'll be shocked if I or one of my children don't break it within the next year. So I don't even know what to do. How do you display a plate? Do I take down my commemorative Princess Diana plate and put it up? I guess so.
Never take down the princess.
Never take it down? Okay.
Never take the princess down. But, you know, they make those little plate holders. Keelys, yeah. I guess. I don't know. I see them on the top shelf over at Clover Club. She's got a whole set, I think.
Yeah,
they have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but between Julie party. And Dave Wondrich, they can have a dinner party for about 30 people.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Didn't Phil Ward smash his after he got his? Because Mywell got like best themed bar or something like that.
Yeah,
and Phil didn't like the verbiage on that, so he smashed it.
Yeah,
at the ceremony.
That sounds like Phil.
Oh, Phil. Yeah, I do want to say just, you know, before we get off the air here, a huge thank you to all of our listeners over the past almost 10 years. 400 episodes is, I can't believe I've made it this long. I can't believe I'm still alive, honestly. You know, but 400 is a big number. And, you know, I thought I thought 100 was, and you know, it's just, it's been really great. It's been a wonderful experience, and all the conversations we've had, all the experiences, all the places we've seen people, we've got the opportunity to chat with, and it's just been really wonderful. So I want to say thank you. I wish, and I will say this, I wish we were all in the same space together. You know, it's,
yeah.
Haven't been in the actual studio for quite some time now. Aaron, you're in Park Slope, right?
Yeah, I'm currently sitting in my family
in
Volvo on Union Street and Fifth Avenue.
Nice.
Dogs just peeing right next to my car. It's sweltering.
Yeah.
It's a glamorous life we live, guys.
Yeah. And Janae,
this is where art comes from, guys.
Yeah. And Janae, where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Roseville, and I'm at home in my office.
Oh, cool. I'm in Marin, so we're neighbors.
Yeah, you're not far at all.
Gulf Barb and I were neighbors, and now we're neighbors. So when this all settles down, we'll have to get together, talk about country music, and drink some 12-ounce old fashions.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Right. There we go. There's a piece of content for you. Damon and you should write a song together.
Yes.
I like it.
Damon's quite an accomplished guitar player, and he's got a band, a sort of alt country action. You guys could do something together.
That'd be
a beautiful piece of content.
This is going to be, you know, once the COVID thing settles down, it's going to be one hell of a party, y'all.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be a big reunion. Actually, guys, I'll probably be out in Brooklyn, you know, sometime before the end of the year. So we'll be sure to get together and do a, you know, a nice little celebratory cheer for the 400th episode.
Yeah,
one of our bars, at Grand Army or Moria Margo, we can try and drink some champagne off that plate.
We'll do it at both.
Yeah,
man. Again, what a great episode. Really delightful to have you on today. You're a star. Aaron, thanks so much for sharing this story with us and with the world, and congratulations again on winning the award. And you know, if you feel you're going to break the plate, maybe send it to Janae. She can hang it up in her house.
I feel like she should at least have a replica, and I might make one for her.
Right on.
Nice. Very cool.
Well, that's all I've got for this episode. Unless you guys have something more.
I think that's about it. I can't pack it too much more fun into this episode.
Yeah, this was really great. All right. Thanks everybody for listening to the Speakeasy 400 episodes deep. Thanks again to Damon Bolte for creating the show nearly 10 years ago and for having the lapse in judgment of asking me to come on the show some years ago. and really happy to have Greg on board as well. The machine is running smoother than ever, and I look forward to the next 400.
Absolutely.
Amen, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Bye. Thanks
cheers.
For having us.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows that you like. Tell your friends. And please, join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.